Statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Inspirational women are increasingly popular in the news and media, but many go unheard and their stories are never told. Women to Watch with Susan Rocco captures the stories of many women who truly make a difference. Women to Watch is the vehicle for developing new leaders, encouraging younger generations, and in building self-esteem for future entrepreneurs.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch here on WWDB, Talk 860, and womentowatch.net. Before we get started, I want to give our call-in number. If you're listening and you'd like to call the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. And also be sure to check out the Women to Watch website for all things related to the show, including any of the live shows that you may have missed. You can pick up at our podcast, and you can find us at womentowatch.net. That's women, the number two, watch.net, N-E-T. I am absolutely thrilled and honored this afternoon to have a guest with us, joining us from New York. She's calling into the show, and her name is Roya Mahboob, and Roya is the president and CEO of Digital Citizen Fund. Roya, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you, and as I said, truly honored to be able to share your story and the work that you've been doing for women and young girls around the world is incredibly inspiring. So I'm so happy to have this opportunity. And the first thing I would love for you to talk about just for a few minutes is your background, and just to give the listeners and audience a little bit of a sense of that. You were born in Afghanistan, but your family left and moved to Pakistan for a short time and then Iran due to the troubles that were going on in Afghanistan. And I wonder if you can talk about those years for me and what it was like to be living outside of your homeland where you were born, and the thing that shaped you most from your mom and dad during those years.
Sure. I was grew up in Iran. My family migrated to Iran during the Russian time, and I was grew up there. And of course, it was very difficult living as a refugee and as a child of a refugee family. And I remember the time that my family back then during the Taliban, but before that they back, we had a better life because my father worked for private schools, and he was all the time traveling, and he was taking us to different places, and we didn't have a problem of go to the schools or study or do our education. But mm-hmm. I remember when it was 1996, we back to Afghanistan again with my family, and there was just a few days later Taliban come to our city, and things for us changed. And then after 6 months again we back to Iran, but it wasn't warm welcome like past, because this time we were not we didn't have our legal documentation, so for a while we were illegal document. I mean, we were living there, but we didn't have any documentation, and then we could get documents. But still, it was very challenging to get to the schools, and every year my father had to talk with them and take us to the private schools, and they had to work harder to pay for our tuition fee, because the public schools was very difficult to get in.
Yeah.
And that was the time that I was in Iran, and then in 2003.
Yeah. So your dad was a quite an advocate for you. And did you have siblings, Roya?
Yes, I am one of seven children.
Okay.
I have two more sisters, and I have four brothers.
Yeah, and it seems as though he treated both you, your sisters, and your brothers equally when it came to encouraging education. Is that right?
Yes,
yeah.
I think. My father had the opportunity to go to Germany for his education, but also he was open-minded, and what he saw in his sister relationship when his sister couldn't do her their education and they married and they didn't have a very successful life. So my father was always wants that we will, from very early age, always told us that we have to be independent and not rely on our husband in future or not rely on anybody. So now, that was one of the reasons he was very supportive of our education.
Was that unusual for a father and a man in the community you lived to be encouraging that? Yeah.
Yes, I mean, you can see that there are a few men. Right now there are more men, but in that time there were a very small number of people, especially men, that they support the girls' education.
And what age were you living in Iran? How old were you from when to when before you moved back to Afghanistan?
I mean, I remember that I passed in when I was like 6-7 years old. Then we were living in under the Taliban for 6 months. Then we left it, and then in 2013, when I was like between 15 to 18. Between 15 to 16, I back to Afghanistan. I was at the age 2003, we back to Afghanistan.
Okay. I love the story of how you described why and how you first became interested in computer science. And apparently you had heard stories while living in Iran about this incredible device, this box, as you described it, that was almost like a dream, where people could talk to each other and you could find books on there and any kind of information you wanted. I love how you describe that. And where were you hearing these stories? Who was talking about what we now know is a computer, but who and was talking about these stories about this device that was so magical?
Well, at that time, I think that there was, when we were in Taliban during the time, I hear that there is a box that you can talk, but it was just, we didn't know that it's a computer, because there was, at the time, there was no any computer. But when I back to Iran, I read about that, and but unfortunately, because I was asking, I wasn't allowed to go to computer classes. And I always thought that since there was a box, that was like, white, there was big computer at that time, old computer, and there was only for, even for privileged kids that they had money, they could go to learn about computer. It was just stuck in my mind. And when I back to Afghanistan, and I hear that a friend of mine came and told me that, Roya, would you like to go to, there is an Asian cafe that just opened and in Herat, would you like to go to try a new, there was a Yahoo Messenger at that time, and he said that if I'm interested to go. And of course I was very interested, and I was a very curious girl at the time. And we went to that internet cafe, and it was the only place that men could go, and it was just opening, and many of men also didn't know how to work with that. And we told them that we wanted to work with a computer. And they got very surprised because it was so new, and they and also, I mean, that's how the Afghan girls knows how to work with a computer. But anyway, I mean, at the beginning they didn't want that we work, but I started to work with a computer for the first time using the internet. I realized that there are more than all than what was around of me, and from that moment I remember that everything's changed for me. And I feel like that because, you know, growing up in Afghanistan was so different than growing up in Silicon Valley or any other countries. Our not only our access to technology is limited, but our entire life were wound up in small communities, families where we live. And we didn't have, like, luxury thought that we can change our life in the way that it was already told us that how we have to live. And I think that was for me to living in Afghanistan at that time, that we didn't have access to a lot of the books, we didn't have access to talk with the people, we didn't know what's going on in the world, and the only hope was the TV that you could see the news that my family, my brothers, my father chose for me. And we live, but we're living in beautiful jail. That's what I call it. That we could go to the school, we could come back, but there was no any access to any information.
Yeah.
And that a small magic box gave me access to the world that I have never saw it, and I never didn't have opportunity to be connected with that.
Yeah.
And I remember there was only one library in Herat that we could get lent the books, but there was very old books. We didn't have very updated books or information.
Mm.
And we always had challenging. We had to order books that someone go to Iran and bring for us that books, but there were no other ways that we have access to information. And that's the small box here that I'm talking. If you could talk with people, whether they care that who you are or you're a girl, and you communicate with people, you learn about different culture, and you could type anything in the Google and everything's come up for you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It wasn't only one reality. It was so many realities that you could find. And that was the story of how I was connected with a computer at the age of 16.
Yeah, so you were 16. Did you have any fear of going into that cafe, which was, mostly men? And, were you afraid that you shouldn't be doing that? You shouldn't be getting access to the computer?
I mean, yes. I mean, it was, of course, when I was there, when my friend and I were there, the men in the cafe at that day, they didn't allow us to use the computer. And it was a bad thing that the girls say that we wanted to learn. They get surprised that we wanted to work with a computer, because I think we were the only two girls who wants to just try it, and they never saw that the girls have this courage to learn about computer.
Yeah.
For me, I was so fascinated with this technology. I wasn't care about what people say. I really wanted to to work with a computer.
Yeah. You know what? That says so much about you. Would you say that you had more curiosity to be connected to things around the world than your sisters?
Yes. I was a very curious person, and I always wanted to know what's going on. And I wanted to explore the world that was bigger than myself, my family. But I was very curious, but I was a very shy girl as well. So I have to say that. But I think my curiosity was the reason that I wanted to use, and for the first time when I used it, I said, this is what I needed, because it was just, for a person like me, was great tools to find any information, communicate with people, connect with other with other countries in the world, and find new realities. For many of the women and girls who are living in conservative societies, our families, our community, the society already predefined only one reality for us.
Mm.
And for many of these girls, that they have to marry with a man that's chosen by their families. And then they have to stay at home. For that, many of them, they have to have a babies. And that was the reason that they are totally disconnected with the world. And they don't know what is truly possible for them. And for me, technology was a dream, and give me new realities, to make my dreams further. I mean, make my dreams to reality. So that's what I love about technology. And attached to my computer, and start working with computer and internet, everything is for me changed.
Mm.
And I remember that I said that not only my eyes opened to the entire new world, but I would say I have to make determined technology be my career, to break the mold and create a different pathway for myself.
Yeah. Well, so now as more and more women are exposed to technology, and we, certainly where you are from, the numbers are still extremely low. But are you hopeful? Do you see a change in the cultural views around education and women?
Yes, I totally believe that technology can bring the social change and the society, especially in conservative society. I remember the time that I was 16 years old. I was probably one of the few girls who learned about computer in 2003. In Herat, but today we have girls who are working in robots, and they came in to participate in international competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that how much the difference between all these years. And still there is a very low level of the women who participate in technology, but in compare with 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I think a lot of the development has happened for bringing women in tech or giving them access to technology or technology devices. And many of the women right now have access to phone, but not a smartphone, but at least a simple phone. They communicate through that. And many of the women, especially right now, many of them, even they can read and write, but they know about WhatsApp, they know about Skype, because if their family members is outside of Afghanistan, they wanted to be connected with them through their WhatsApp, Viber, and then Skype calls. So it's interesting that even some of the families, some of the women, they don't know, but they hear about these devices, they ask from their children or their brothers to help them with connectivity. And of course, there are also the number of the women in computer science faculty increase a lot. And we have at least more than 35% of the female in computer science are female. And then the number of faculty of the computer science also is increased in private and public schools, public universities. So I think all of these things are helping that we can bring more women in tech and technology or STEAM programs.
Roya, tell me when your interest went or changed from being personally curious and interested in technology. You earned a bachelor's degree in computer science from Herat University. And when did it change from educating yourself about technology and deciding to really take on building digital literacy for women and children as a cause, as a personal cause for you?
Well, it was the time that I had a lot of challenges when I started my company in 2010. And I was one of the first tech female CEOs in Afghanistan. And I got a lot of challenges and the barriers in my work. But technology, it's helped me to overcome all those challenges. And there was a time that I felt that, okay, I realized the career that I was dreaming of skill, but I know that there are millions of girls who are out there just like me. They are curious, but giving another vision to explore the world. They wanted to know more, but they don't know what is truly possible. And that was the reason that we started to building the Visual Symphon, to giving access to women to have access to technology and have access to education and get a skill that they can find later for themselves a job or become financially independent.
Yes. Now, I would just so the listeners understand, when you started to speak out and to form these companies that were going to benefit women and children in technology, you received a lot of pushback. And there were people who didn't agree with you in the work that you were doing. Talk about the fear that you had and, some of the pushback that was not only against you, but your family as well.
Well, being as a tech female CEO anywhere in the world will introduce you some obstacles and challenges. But in Afghanistan, the place that the women are not supposed to work outside, the attack against me personally and professionally was devastating, because it wasn't only that you can bring the CAVAX to finance or get finding a labor that have an excuse or a lot of other challenges, but many of other women have it in a tech. But it also was about the conservative local Taliban and even the mafia of IT industry. I call them mafia of IT industry, but the people who were in the IT industries, and they were leader of that industry, they didn't want me. And for many of the cases, my clients often to refuse to paying us for the jobs that we needed for them just because we were simply women. And my employee and I were threatened again because we were simply women that they dared to do to what they couldn't do to other men. Sometimes I felt that it was like too much, but what I could do, they were follow us and spied us. They put in the spy and threatened this and did the threats to my employees and I to discouraging us. And I mean, there was, I mean, so many challenges that we faced and enemies, my enemies not only forced me to be out of secondary, also they forced many of my women that they were top women just working in managing my projects. And I think that the reason that they all did that, it was that they didn't want, many of these men also accused me for being a spy, not behaving as a normal Muslim woman, and bringing Western culture to Afghanistan. And sometimes one of those rumors was enough to damaging your reputation in a way that you cannot survive in the country. And many of them, they were enough smart to use that. And again, it's of my employees or me. And but that's, I think that was more the reason that they do is because they wanted to keep their power and deny the rights and freedom for the woman.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to have changes in their society. So
you were actually, you were worried for your safety at times.
Yes, there was many of the times that it started to feeling that I am unsafe. So I was, when I started my company, it was 2010, but then I left at Harvard in 2011, and then I started to become a digital entrepreneur. There was many times that we started to work with clients, and they, as I mentioned, they didn't want to pay us or they created challenges for us. And our names came out because we did some of couple of the projects for U.S. military and NATO, and also my company was part of the one of seven country companies in Hawaii incubators. So all of these challenges is made it us to think that we have to not be rely on the governments, not rely on the on conservative societies, and we have to finding getting advantage of social media and free market. So I decided to become a digital entrepreneur and lowered our physical address, but extended our presence online. And that's why I was a friend of mine sent me an invitation to join to LinkedIn, and it was totally changed everything for me. And I was joining, and I found a lot of clients through the LinkedIn, and I was approached them. And that was also lead me to find investor online. He was Italian-American. My first investor for my company, it was Italian-American who lives in New York. And he decided to invest in our company. And actually, we connect through the LinkedIn. And then he we discussed another few weeks. He started with small projects as a client base, and then later on he invested in our my first platform called WomanX that allows women to write blogs and film, and be paid some for the those who contributed the high quality content, we paid them. So that was the first project that I found. But all of this made me to use the technology. Technology helped me in many of the to overcome of many of my challenges.
Why do you think that gentleman believed in you and was willing to invest in you?
Well, I think that when the start, he started to first giving us a small project, and we were successfully done this project for him, and he was interested. And then we discussed about different projects and giving some of the ideas. And he had a platform of film distribution at the time. And I wanted to building a woman channels for women that they can have like an online TV. And then that was discussion came up to the WomanX, and he liked the idea, and he decided to invest in our platform.
Yeah.
And he was also, I think that he is one of those who, a person who really care about the women rights, and he's a very supportive of not only the work that I did, and also he helped a lot of the women, other women. So Francesco. His name is Francesco. I have Francesco Rulli, and he was my first investor, and he was very nice person to work with.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, that your first investor would be a man who advocates for women, I think, is, you know, that was a very positive thing that happened for you and allowed you to, you know, continue your entrepreneurial pursuits. If you're just tuning in, I am joined this afternoon by Roya Mahboob, who is the president and CEO of Digital Citizen Fund. And Roya, in 2013, you were named to Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World. And it was based on your work in building internet classrooms in high schools in Afghanistan. My first question around that for you is, how did you get the funding?
Well, as I mentioned, I had my company start to working on the platform called LunaNex, and we make money with advertising and ad networks at that time. And we investing all of the money that we make money, our profits, to building those IT centers. And we're building 13 technology centers, 11 of them located in 11 schools. And our aim was that we have to build 14 schools, building 14 IT centers across Afghanistan. And in our network at the moment, we have 55,000 of the indirect beneficiary of the students, that 10,000 of them get trained directly.
I understand that particular recognition and the article was written by Sheryl Sandberg for you. And did you know that at the time?
Well, I mean, my bio when it's come up, everyone told me, do you know who wrote your bio? And I said, no. And then they told me, do you know it's Sheryl Sandberg? And she's one of the most powerful women in the tech industry in the United States. And I was just started to read about her. And then same time I received an email from Sheryl, and that's how I meet with her.
Oh, that must have been incredibly exciting.
Yes, it was. I was so excited, and she's great. I mean, she becomes my role model that I would love to be like her one day. And I read her books. She gave me her books, Lean In, and
yes.
I read it, and I very love the way that she explained and many of the challenges that I feel that I have it as a CEO, and many of the times I feel that I was I feel that there are some of the parts, it is just like talking about the way that I didn't have the confidence, and I didn't want to ask, and challenges that the women have, and she encouraging us to ask for asking. And then I think that I really loved her advice in the book.
Yeah. You know, when we look at someone like you who has accomplished what you've accomplished, it would not occur to most people that you lack confidence. You know, we spoke before the show, and you described yourself as shy when you were younger, and that was quite surprising to me. Can you talk about what other than meeting someone like Sheryl Sandberg and reading her book, has it been your accomplishments that has helped boost your confidence, or have you worked on it? Tell me how that has improved for you.
I mean, I was very shy when I was younger. I mean, I was one of seven children, and I had four brothers, and usually, at that time, my brother were conservative as well. And I didn't have an access to any information, but I was very hated that to talk in front of a group of people. I was very good in one-to-one, but I didn't like to talk in front of the group. And when I remember, for the first time, I was in a school, and when my teacher was a man, and he asked me to write something in a whiteboard, and I was like shaking my hands because I was very good in the numbers, but I didn't want to stand in front of hundreds of students. And but how it was changed for me, it was changed since I became to be an as a technologist and be connect with the social media. It changed all of my life. I started to chatting with people and shared information. And that was actually start to empowering myself, because I started to talk and share my ideas, and I had people who liked my idea or they talk with me and they care or respect it. And I also had access to the information, and it's make me to talk at the home. And of course, at the beginning, I was ignored all the time. And my father also liked me, but I mean, but you know, when you talk, I was always was take my brother's attention, and they ignore me, and they never want to listen. And like really, you talk about this, and I wanted to be, when they talk about politics, I wanted to be involved. When they talk about any like invention or science, and I was always wanted to be involved in this discussion.
Yeah.
And I feel that it started from the home, and then I started talking also in the schools, and then I was, but still I had that shy again to talk in front of the group, but it was like improve a lot in the meetings and the other things. But I think the other things that helped me were the speeches in front of the group, because I was practicing a lot, and then I think that if we have information in advance and practicing it, now I got much better, and I overcome. Sometimes I will be overconfident, but
well, and it's probably continuing to improve today, right? As you get more and more recognition, you come on shows like this, and you know, there's articles published about you. My guess is that you continue to, you know, your confidence continues to rise with each experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have a caller. Teresa is on the line and she has a question for you. We'll be right back.
This is Kristen Hilsley, financial advisor of the Foley Hilsley Group, with a big announcement. Last fall, I hosted a women's lifestyle conference to help the women who do it all take control of their finances. Now I'm excited to announce a new partnership with Women to Watch Media to help show women how to own their financial future. We'll have newsletter articles, blog posts, announcements of live events, and a lot more, all available at womentowatch.net and our own website, foleyhilsleygroup.com. I'm thrilled about this new partnership, and I look forward to being your resource for all things financial. Stay tuned to learn more or visit our website at foleyhilsleygroup.com. The Foley Hilsley Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC. Log on to foleyhilsleygroup.com to learn more. That's FOLEYHILLSLEY group.com, or call 610-238-6636.
Since 1858, Mount St. Joseph Academy has been educating girls to be leaders, founders, and independent thinkers. Students are taught to be collaborative, courageous, compassionate, confident, and spiritual. In this student-centered environment, the young women are transformed by recognizing their own potential and are encouraged to use it to make a difference in the world. To learn more about Mount St. Joseph Academy, go to www.msjacad.org or call 215-233-3177. That's msjacad.org or 215-233-3177.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to another week of Women to Watch here on WWDB, Talk 860, and womentowatch.net. I'm joined this afternoon by Roya Mahboob, who is the president and CEO of Digital Citizen Fund. And we actually have a caller on the line, Roya, who has a question for you. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sue. Hi, Roya. Thanks for taking my call. Really enjoyed listening to the program and how culturally interesting your guest is today, Sue. So
fantastic. Go ahead. You have a question?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to first say, first off, Roy, I really admire you, and I find your story fascinating. I watched a YouTube this morning about you, And I find it really interesting that you had the curiosity and the courage to circumvent the prejudice against women in your country and use the internet as your way to help others. And it's really admirable. And, you know, with that being said, I just think about from a Western point of view, how we women in the United States obtained our personal freedom via the 19th Amendment and our voting rights. So my question to you is, because government and religious beliefs are so interwoven in your culture, how can you envision your government recognizing women and allowing them someday voting rights or rights other than the one-dimensional societal values that they that women have right now with this, you know, you have defined women as having, you know, staying at home, expecting to have children, and not really being able to speak out in society. So I'm just curious to what you think about how government and religion being so intertwined culturally in Afghanistan, how things could possibly change in the future.
Well, thank you, Teresa, for your question. And I think that my government is right now, they're trying very hard to, not very hard, but they are at least trying to support women rights and women education. And if we compare with like 10, 15 years ago, there was no woman who could go to the school. But today we have more than 30%, 35% of the women in the schools and in university that are female. We have African President Ghani, he really support women. He brought for women as minister. He, we have more than 35% in parliament. Our representative are the female. But all of these things happening in Afghanistan, I think if we have bring more women as decision maker, it would be help more to empowering the women in our country. But the problem that exists in Afghanistan is not the government or law. It's that it's a culture. The culture is very, culturally, people get very conservative during this fourth decade of the war. It wasn't a part of the culture of Afghanistan, like if you back in 1920, 1970, or 1980. But unfortunately, after the war of the Mujahideen and then Taliban become in power, Afghanistan back, to, I don't know, to century that it wasn't even existing in their story. And people get very conservative. There are a couple of issues. There's cultural barriers, then it's about security, and then there is no a law that there is a law, but there is no any police to really implement that law. So I think that it's this question back to the parliament that there is a law to stop violence against such a woman that they part of that it was approved, but still for many other parts. Parliament haven't passed it, and if they pass it, maybe they force the police and the courts and the judge that they have to take the violence against the women to be taken serious or the helping women empowerment. But I think that technology is the best tools, and ICT is a great tool to educate women. And education, I think, is the key to unlocking global citizenship for women and girls all around the world. And what my reason is, yeah.
Oh yeah, I think the education is paramount to exposure, and also the fact that you said that your father had traveled to Germany, and had seen the opportunities in Europe for women, and then he went back to the to your country, you said, and thought to himself, well, my daughters might be raised differently. So the exposure that you had when you traveled to Iran and to, you had said, your other travel experiences, do you find that that made you curious as well?
Yes, that was also another reason that we, I mean, we could get this education and we had the support of the family members. But still, I mean, there are many of the families in Afghanistan. In bigger city, they start to change their view toward of their women.
Mm.
And, the other thing is interesting is financial independence that makes women to be more have the rights And especially in dual programs, when some of our female students come to our program, they get educated, but then when they start to make money, we could see that things changed. I think that the money is a power tool, and that's how to conservate financial independence for women. It's a tool that how conservative society can see a woman or treat a woman. They can change your mind.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of community.
Roya, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Teresa, yeah, those great
Roya,
questions.
I had one more question just from Roya. Just a quick answer from her would be great.
Yeah.
How do you feel the American media depicts Afghanistan on our just television platforms? I mean, to me, it seems like there's very little reported. And if it is reported, it seems like it instills a lot of fear in people. Does that frustrate you to see our coverage, our media coverage of your country?
Yeah, that's unfortunately that what we see that the media only show the part of war, the part of violence, the part of the poverty, but they don't show that a lot of things have also changed. There are a lot of the good things that happen in Afghanistan in terms of education, in terms of the access to the health for the women, and we have a lot of the women who right now working in the very high profile decision-making positions, and unfortunately, we can see less media showing the positive side of Afghanistan.
Oh, well, I'm very optimistic. Just hearing you speak, I'm thrilled, and I'll be watching you and following you. Thanks so much for taking my call, and I've really enjoyed your show, Sue.
Thank you, Teresa. We appreciate your calling in, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Roya, yeah, I loved Teresa's last question because I don't know if she's aware that you're actually living here in the United States now. You don't work from Afghanistan, and I wondered how you're able to, obviously through technology, but what are some of the ways that you manage your business and the work that you're doing in Afghanistan from New York?
Well, again, technologies make everything easier. And when I was in Afghanistan, I was trying to control my stuff and everything through Skype, email, and call, because I couldn't go in person in my office in Herat. And I think that right now I am going back and forth between Afghanistan and New York.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I go, it's very low profile. So I keep it very low profile just because of security reasons.
Yes.
And then Skype and WhatsApp. Usually I am mostly midnight person because it will be morning there. And I have to talk with the staffs, and I have to also do early morning sometimes to follow up with them.
Wow.
And my staff is good because they are working, many of my staff in my foundation at the moment, they were used to work with me. When I was running my company, and they get trained, and they know that, and they do a very good job. So.
Yeah. So when do you sleep? If you're working at midnight.
Well, when I do the midnight, then in the morning I won't wake up early.
Yeah, okay.
So, the time.
Yeah. So, Roya, you've been described truly as a serial entrepreneur, and I wonder if you could talk about any projects that you're currently working on.
Sure. I mean, right now we're working on a couple of projects. One of the projects is a new initiative. I'm an entrepreneur running the foundation voluntary, but I think that raising the fund for a nonprofit is very difficult. And we thought that we have to make it sustainable. So that's why we started a new initiative as in a coffee and tea business that we bring, buying the spice from our students in Afghanistan. We bring it here and we make it very delicious formula that we making a coffee ground for high-end consumer. It's very healthy, it's help for depression, it brings a smile on the face, and it's good for heart and avoid of concern. And this coffee, the 100% of the profits will go back to the foundation, and it's help us that we can continue our providing access to education and technology, and also giving microfinancing for women who start their startups. The second project that this project will launch end of this month, a soft launch. And then we have another project that we're working with blockchain technology. And my sister and I were the first females that we starting to bring the Bitcoins in 2013 in Afghanistan. And now we are working on building a new decentralized online marketplace for women that they can using cryptocurrency coins for exchanging of buying the goods and selling the goods. And because we help 100 women every year, that this year itself we're helping 100 women to start their own startups. We help them with business plan, marketing plan, and teaching them how to use technology and business skills to bring their product to the market. And we have very good students that they're doing very well. And we hope that with this platform, we help them to sell their products, not only in Herat, but other provinces and as well outside of Afghanistan. And our projects, we also have a project in Mexico, and we are going to start a new initiative in Brazil as well. So there's a lot of the projects that I am currently working and very involved with them.
Do you have a marketing team that works with the foundation that will be working to help with all of these offshoots and entrepreneurial ventures?
Well, in Afghanistan, we have 14 people who are working, but because our budget is, we have very limited budget, we can't hire any marketing groups in U.S. All, like, we have 5 board members, we have advisory board, and we have interns that they are working with us, but we are hoping to increase the number of interns that they can help us, but all of us working voluntarily. So we're looking for to get more involved people who would be interested to working voluntary or as an intern or as a project base with our projects for future that we can marketing all these businesses.
Okay. Yeah, because it, you know how important it is to bring visibility to these small businesses. You know, once build the business and cover the technology aspect of everything, it's so important that people know about it. And, you know, I know early on when your funds are low, it's difficult.
Yes. And but we are, like, we have a team in Afghanistan that they started to make a documentary about the students. And every of these projects, if the family allow, because we have still challenges with the family permission. With the family permission, we started to make a documentary from each student. And with this blockchain technology, we will again showcase all of their projects and helping them to write about them, to do a film about them, and also help them to selling their product.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we are currently doing it, but we don't have like a larger budget to do like a big marketing about about these students.
Okay.
And their projects.
Yeah. Let's talk for a few minutes about the Global Thinkers Forum. You and I both happen to be members of this wonderful organization that's working on initiatives around women's empowerment, youth development, and leadership. What kinds of things are you doing with the Global Thinkers Forum?
Well, I am working, and I am an advisory board, and I talk sometimes with Elizabeth about the different ways of that, how they do fundraising and they're working in different projects. But also, I am a mentor of one of their students and helping her.
Yes, they launched the Athena Mentorship Program this year. I think it's a wonderful program. I think it's so important in all the things that we talk about on this show that we're reaching the youngest generation of girls and women so that when they get, you know, older or to places where perhaps we are in looking to help women in business and in technology, that they already have that confidence in speaking out.
Yes, I think that this is very important. Also, I think it's not only that they learn getting advice for their future, getting their confidence and helping them with their career, but it's also, it's both ways. We also learn many of the things from our people that we are teaching them. And I think that this is a great opportunity, and I'm very honored to be involved with this program. and I'm looking forward for the future people that the young generation that Global Team Forum will introduce to me.
Roya, what would you say is the most difficult part of the work that you're doing? What is the greatest challenge for you?
Well, I mean, for working in a very male-dominated industry in Afghanistan or even outside, there are lots of challenges that exist. One is that access to finance is right now is one of the biggest challenges that I have, and then it's working when you do all of the things and you ignore in all of your accomplishment is another challenge that we have it. And I think that is also, again, it's back to the fear. The time that when I started was mostly I was fear. My fear was that what the people talk about me. And why, when someone makes rumors, and I was afraid that if people believe that, what's going to happen, how I can survive, how I can continue to work. But I think that today I'm not that worried like in the past. And then I overcome off my fear, and I increase my confidence. And I think that it's, yeah, I mean, that's it, I think.
Yeah, well, I think that's, again, so incredibly brave on your part to not only be speaking out, but to do so when you know that there's a large percentage of people from your own country that are opposed to the work that you're doing. So I just, I mean, I commend you for continuing and being so determined when you have a group, right, that is against your work.
Thank you. I mean, I think that it's one of it's kind of for me challenging that it's kind of a challenge way for me when people tell me that you can't do it and you shouldn't do that. And I think that this is a great thing that I do, but people want to disagree. I feel that they wanted to hide some things or they want to try to stop a change is coming. And that's why I wanted to do it. And the time I was left Afghanistan, I was one of the tech female CEOs. It was obvious that I got a lot of the enemies, but what about hundreds of people who do the same things, thousands of the women who do the same things, hundreds of thousands of them doing the same thing?
Mm.
Who knows what potential can be inside of each of these women? The answer to poverty, violence, and slavery could be in the heart of any woman and girl who has no way of realizing their power of their dreams.
Mm.
And the goal of Digital Sim Wand is that we can help unlock up this potential for every woman through education and global citizenship. And I think that this is not only my responsibility. I think it's the responsibility of everyone to work for the peace and sustainable lifestyle for all the women. And I think it's possible for all the people, regardless of your background, to realize their dream and goals, and it only can be happen through the power of technology and education.
And can you describe for us, Roya, why you believe it's so important to be able to provide education and access to technology for women and girls? In other words, what do you see as the greatest impact if we are able to help in this way?
Well, I think that technology and internet personally helped me to overcome on lots of the cultural barriers and show me a new pathway. And I become as a digital citizen. I could connect it with the world and do not limit the border of domestic life or conservative societies. And I think for the women in conservative area, technology is a great tool that they can connect with the world, they find new realities, they become a digital citizen, they have a voice. There is, when you are connected with the world, there is no any resistance that who you are, what's your gender, what's your color. And you can find any information you want. You can train yourself. You can educate yourself. You can do business through e-commerce. And if you have access to your cell phone, you connect to the world, you do business, you become financially independent. That this is very, very important.
Yes.
And I think that for every teen, again, I say that education is key to unlocking global citizenship for all these women. And our aim is that we can see that the life is changed by one, and through the power of technology and education. And the expanded worldview, the knowledge can provide its answer to many of the world's problems of today. And I think that we all should need it to working for these women. There are many of the girls who are out, and they are technology and worldwide going move forward without them. And it's very necessary that we put tools and internet connection to these places. This might seem a big problem. And many of people would fight against of the dream to empowering women across the world. And a solution, I think, starts small. It's start right here and every day.
That's right.
It starts with one girl,
yes,
with one woman, one dream, one computer, one step at a time. We can change the world together.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. We're actually towards the end of the show, and if you want to just leave a very short piece of advice for it, we have quite a large community of women who listen to this show from the Middle East, and if there's somebody listening that wants to be involved but perhaps is still afraid, what would you say to her?
I think that I would say that do whatever you feel you like it, and passion and loving the work is very important. And then you needed to put a lot of hard work to make your dream a reality, and it's you to make your dream reality, not others. And and especially for the tech people, I would say that the best way is to learn the tech, is to jump in and just do it. And
Well, it's great advice, and I think it always comes back to, you know, listening to that inner voice, not listening to others who want to determine what you should be doing and how you should be living your life. And you're a great example of that. I wish you such continued success, and I hope, of course, to meet you soon in New York. I hope we have that opportunity.
Sure. I look forward to seeing you in person.
Okay. And do you want to give out contact information if someone wants to be in touch to help with the fund?
Sure. Digital Citizen Fund is at www.digitalcitizenfund.org. They can come to our website. And if they wanted to contact with me, my email address is my Twitter account. My Twitter account is Roya Mahbub. And I look forward to talk with them. And thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be in this call.
You're very welcome, Roya. Thank you so much. That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Be sure to check out our website at womentowatch.net and have a great week.
Thank you.